right, we'll open up the Stan and Haney vault.
Oh, this is a one that, when I heard it, I said, boy, this was a special time for all of us.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No need to introduce this person, as I will introduce him as we did back in 1999.
He's America's oldest teenager, Dick Clark. Hi, Dick.
Oh, yeah, and so it begins. How are you guys?
We're doing good. You started out, I guess, before the bandstand thing started. Weren't you a sales manager at some radio station?
No, that was my father.
Oh, your father
was.
Yeah,
there was another Dick Clark.
And he was a sales manager.
Yeah.
And is that how you got involved into Radio 3?
He actually went in the radio business because he knew as a 13-year-old kid I wanted to be in radio. So when he decided to make a career change, he said, what the heck, I'll go in radio, maybe I can give him a hand. So he gave me my first job in the mailroom. I worked at an FM station. In those days, nobody listened to FM as opposed to today. So I could break in doing the rural radio network and giving the weather forecast to a couple of geese somewhere. And then it blossomed. I went to school, studied business administration, got a job in Philadelphia, which he helped me get, by the way.
Wow.
The rest is as you know it.
Do you think the business was more honorable then?
I think the world was more honorable, to tell you the truth. It was, we lived in an innocent period. We'd just come out of winning a war. We were all good guys. The government wore a white hat instead of a black hat. There weren't any thieves in Washington, and wham, bam, the world changed.
Let me ask you, back in the bandstand days when that thing was on every day, the kids would come home from school. I remember, I was old enough to remember Saturdays in American Bandstand.
Yeah, it went from a daily show to a weekend show somewhere around the 60s, I think.
When you were doing that thing, did you have bands that, you know, here you go, you're getting ready, the kids are all ready to dance, you're going to play the latest hits, and the band doesn't show?
No, the only guy who ever arrived in Philadelphia to do the show and looked at his paycheck, which was a scale in those days, $155. He said, I had never worked for this kind of money. He walked out with Porter Wagoner.
Really?
I reminded him of it the other day when I was in Nashville. He said, no, I did that. Man, that was a major mistake, wasn't it? And I said, well, Porter, that's the way it was.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was there with his spangled suit on, but I mean, he's a big star in his own world, but nobody ever offered him peanuts, and he was outraged.
What do you think of radio today? With the way that it's changed.
Well, it's so complex. Everybody's concerned about digitally delivered satellite radio and the internet and all of that stuff. Everybody was worried in the old days when radio came along, magazine people got scared to death. When television came along, radio got afraid. It's still the most powerful personal medium in the world, and I don't think playing, 97 songs in a row without human beings in between is ever going to fly.
Yeah, you need personnel.
I'm banking on it, Dick.
You have no idea how we're banking on that.
Well, don't give up the day job yet. I've said over and over again, guys, music is the soundtrack of our lives. And whenever I play this stuff, I mean, I get a flood of memories, both professional and personal. But you hear a song like, Wake Up Little Susie or Bebop-a-Lula or, later on, Casey and the Sunshine Band or something. Yeah, all of it is there, and it's phenomenal stuff.
Do you think it'll be that way for kids as they grow up, say 20 or 30 years from now, as fragmented as music in the radio formats are? Will there be a common memory like that?
Unfortunately, as you get closer to the present day, it gets harder because music is becoming more and more disposable. It's like Kleenex.
Sure.
It's gone. Yeah, this other stuff is ground into our memory banks, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, if you weren't even around in the 50s, you know all the Chuck Berry songs. You know all the old songs. Yep. Chantilly Lace. And blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's silly, but it's there.
Yeah.
Part of it.
So you're so associated with the music of the 50s and the 60s, but doing Bandstand, you were, hosting that thing for 30-plus years. You saw so many changes in music, and I'm thinking, if, for example, 1969, 70, 71, 72, when heavy metal, what we play here would be classic rock. I mean, how did you had to go and change with the times then as well. You're so identified with early rock and roll now, but you had to be kind of hip to that stuff too back then.
I mean, what people don't realize is during that period we had Queen on. I'm trying to think about the Iron Butterfly.
Yeah.
People you wouldn't associate with American Bandstand. And it goes right up to the days of Prince and Madonna Michael Jackson, and I'm trying to think of more current people. It's an extraordinary experience. 10,000 musical performances on one show. I mean, that's a history.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I couldn't imagine putting a show like that together.
And of all of those 10,000, imagine how many people got their first break on it.
You broke a lot of people. That's the truth.
Well, it's mind-boggling. I was lucky enough to be standing there in the store, you know, while it happened.
You know, one of the funny things, you used to go up during the bandstand days, and VH1 used to show the bandstands.
Yeah, they ran some of these 70s shows.
But even when you go and have some of these where they show the old black and white bandstands, and you're up in the crowd talking to the people, what do you think of the Beatles? Are they going to make it?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're asking these people, because the Beatles are brand spanking new. They're hearing them for the first time, and, maybe, I kind of like them.
Well, we played She Loves You on the air for the first time, because an old friend of mine found it, brought it over, said there's going to be a big hit, put it on Radio Record. I did. The kids gave it a 73. I mean, they thought it sounded like Buddy Holly and the Crickets and Chuck Berry. I mean, it was derivative music for sure. Little did we know they would change the music world.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And looking back on it now that they're such legends, and you see the old shows, and you say to yourself, boy, you guys have no idea what's in store for you.
No, you know, music is integral to our lives. Food is very, very important. Sex is very important. Music is right up there in the top three, and without any one of those missing, you're missing a lot.
I want to talk about a few other things. Did I hear right? Is Bloopers coming back on TV?
Oh, yeah. It's been on regularly on NBC for 19 years. Now we switch networks. It's on ABC. We've got one coming up in November that we're working on right now. Bloopers is an endless series because we all screw up. You know?
Yeah,
we all make our mistakes.
Yours was the television original, at least, because you know, so many takeoffs were done on you and Ed coming out there, and so many spinoff shows were done.
Yeah.
But hey, yours is the one that's been around the longest.
It's a dinosaur, but it does real well, and I think the secret's real easy. We never get tired of watching those of us who are in the public eye make mistakes. It's a human error. We never ridicule anybody, never humiliate anybody. We just have a laugh along. We've never had any trouble clearing them because they know that we're not going to do any damage to anybody.
Now, Dick, the question that I've really been wanting to ask you is...
Here it comes.
The New Year's Rockin' Eve, any special precautions? Are you a little bit wary?
Yeah, this is a big one.
Hey, they surveyed recently, some U.S. surveys. 70% of Americans, when asked, where would you like to spend New Year's, said Times Square. I'm going to be there, God willing.
Yeah, but they put you up high, away from everybody.
No, I mean, I'm about 18 feet up in the air with 2 million very, very close personal friends, and it's going to be a madhouse.
Seriously, I mean, aren't you a little bit frightened? Because, I mean, regardless of whether anything were to actually happen, there's enough crazies out there that believe that it will, and if it doesn't, they will make it happen.
Well, you know, the Y2K conversations all make grist for the mill. They're for people that don't have a lot of time on their hands. I mean, newspaper people are going to write about it. Disc jockeys are going to talk about it.
Just the kind of people that got nothing to lose and have easy access to weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, down.
Hey, by the way, I love the Futurama thing where they had your head in a jar.
Hey, there's a rare honor.
All right, Dick Clark, thank you so much.
We all know what happened to Dick Clark.
Well, most of us, Stan. For those that don't,
in
Stoke.
Interestingly enough, that was the Millennium getting ready for a 2000 countdown. That was the one and only year that Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve was preempted and not aired live because Peter Jennings hosted a Welcome to the Millennium special and Dick Clark was not live for the ball drop in 2000.
Good. And you know what? Knowing what we know now, that's highly appropriate.
In 2003...
You miss him now, don't you?
Yep. 2003, it was revealed that Dick Clark had type 2 diabetes. And on December 8th, 2004, he was hospitalized in Los Angeles after suffering what was initially termed a minor stroke. However, on December 13th, 2004,
something went horribly, horribly wrong.
It was announced that stroke was much more severe and that Clark would be unable to host his New Year's Rockin' Eve broadcast that he had aired every single year since 1972, with the exception
of the millennium. He did, however, make it back on December 31st, 2005, in a much more reduced role.
An uncomfortable role.
An uncomfortable role. Never to be the same. And now you know the rest of the story.
Life can be cruel.
Yep, very cruel.
And it's crueler to people who are so full of themselves that they don't realize it's time to stop doing something.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
One of the greatest novelties, a fabulous boy prodigy.
The most amazing of all the chimp acts that have ever come to show business.
He said, as you recall, everybody remembers this one. Here's an act that'll scare the life out of you. From China.
He's been in India. He's been all over the world.
Just back from Las Vegas, the Italian Casanova.
A Texas friend of mine, my handsome Italian paisano, today's greatest living American.
Here's the man I invited to Christmas dinner.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
I can live with that.
I can live with that, too.
Well, then why didn't you just have it that way?
You shut him off, Claude! Hi, friends. I don't want to start another day like this, but I'm frustrated. We have track lighting in here. I want to thank a guy that came in on his own and did the track lighting for us.
Yeah, it's good. Sometimes it rains through it, but...
Yeah, well, that's not his work. That's other work here. It's a different world after Irma.
Yep. Disconcerting when you're in a sealed room with... it's got a window, but you can't open it, and you look and see it raining on my friend Stan.
Yeah, and so I had the track lighting on. And he just shut it off. Well, I need a little bit of light to read. And I asked Haney to turn the lights back on. I said, just dim them down a little bit. He turned them back on and, you know, brought them to a level. And he said, I can live with that. And I said, well, I can live with that, too. And he goes, then what are you complaining about? I said, you shut the lights off. We're okay. Everything's good. Everything is good here. Hi,
yeah,
friends.
There's no real conflict. It's fine.
We're just ready to start another day.
I can live with that just fine.
It's Thursday, what I like to call Friday Eve. There is, and I don't know who she is. There's some TV morning anchor. I don't know what channel it is because we flip around so much in the morning. Every Thursday. Well, good Thursday morning. I call it Friday Eve. What?
I can't look at that stuff.
Now, Friday Eve.
You know, I remember when I used to be able to flip on TV and there'd be something I didn't know.
Yeah. Those days are gone.
Yep.
I haven't talked about this in a long time. I know local TV news.
You know more than you should.
You throw the TV on in the morning because I'm up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, you roll out of bed and immediately go through your morning exercise program.
Yep.
You know, your hand wringing.
Yep. I hand ring, 3 cigarettes, 2 cups of coffee, and the morning programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in a situation that is very odd here in Southwest Florida with morning shows. And I'm going to break it down for you.
And you're the expert because I'm not awake at that time.
Yeah. Now, you got Wink, you got Channel 2, you got Zivin.
But they don't count, do they?
I'm going to get to that. They barely count. But I'll get to that. And I don't want to go besmirch them without first displaying
you know what
the
I
facts.
Mean. I wasn't being mean.
I'll tell you who is the lowest on the rung is your Fox. And the only reason I'm saying that is because they don't... I think that's the least amount of money sunk into a morning show, and they don't have... or utilize their network affiliate. Now, they're a Fox. Back in the old days, before Fox came around, those were your independent stations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got the Fox Network, and they have Fox and Friends on the cable. But pretty much with the Fox people...
How does that work? Do they have access to, like, Fox Business, too?
I think so, but they don't utilize it as much as they should. And it's more or less a self-contained...
But they don't put resources into it.
Right. It's pretty much a self-contained thing, and I think their budget is smaller than the others.
Mm.
Your cream of the crop, and this is just me and my thinking, because I watch every one of them, and each and every time I get disgusted with one of them, I'll switch to the other, so I know it pretty good. So I think...
How generous are you with your disgust? Do you have a pretty high tolerance for BS?
I'll tell you exactly.
What is it that makes you flip the channel? What criteria is there?
Broadcasts that they do with their weather guy or their feature reporter that is nothing more than a 20-minute ad.
Okay.
We're at Steve's flower shop in the Cape.
They're basically doing a remote.
Yes, and they're just talking nonstop about
what's
flowers.
The difference between a gardenia and an azalea?
Right. Well, we here at Steve's Flower Shop, right here on Del Prada, you know, that stuff gets to me. And then when they read the pre-wire copy is what we used to call it. Well, you know, the political...
When you got somebody ripping and reading.
And Trump slamming.
Yeah.
Because they're just...
Do they do that locally?
They read what is sent. So CBS, NBC, ABC, they get the feed, and it'll and you immediately hear the slant. So Wink, I think, is television, is the best. They hire good-looking people.
And then make them miserable.
Yeah, well, yes. But they get a little bit too much with the, you know, live commercials. And then their talent is hired through an agency that basically puts together a package all based on looks and how they look on TV, which I highly commend because they have some extremely beautiful people over there at the TV. Then you got your NBC, too. I'd put them a second. And they're good, but they're lazy. They've been on the air, and the crew's been doing the same thing for so long that they mess up a lot.
So they're still kind of back in the Today Show glory days.
Yes. They're still reaping the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have, and those of you that don't know this, Channel 7, the ABC affiliate, is the bastard child of Channel 2.
And they were purchased, well, I guess you can't say purchased, but they're owned by Channel 2.
Yes.
And the idea there is to make them okay.
Yes.
Because they don't want them to overtake Channel 2. They don't want them to be too bad so that they can keep it.
Correct. And what they do over at... And here's the other thing. This was one of the first in the country where somebody that is an NBC affiliate least managed an ABC affiliate.
Wouldn't allow it most places.
Most places they wouldn't allow it. They allowed it here because...
Money.
It's money, and then remember the ABC affiliate used to be WeView.
Yeah, we had them in on their last day. They had a good crew there.
And they, budget-wise and market size, they weren't it. So that's when the Channel 2 people said made a deal to take on an ABC affiliate.
And if I recall correctly, most of the people from WeView ended up almost immediately going to major markets.
They all went and went big. A lot. They had such extreme talent that wasn't utilized properly because back then they didn't have the budget to go in. But many of them went to major markets.
They put out a good product knowing the limited resources they had.
And so what you'll see on your ABC 7... is recycled stuff from NBC2.
And people that they're training that might one day work
Correct.
At NBC2.
And you also have, like, say NBC2 does a footage on a story of, like, these guys that are following people now. This is the big thing. People are being followed.
What?
I'll get into that later when you want it. But they'll take NBC2 will go out there and get their stock footage and interviews and all that stuff with their reporter. Then they go back in, they chop it all up for just the footage and the replies that the reporter is asking, repackage it and put it on Channel 7. So it's been, you know, cut up and it's just a fill piece that they can use without one of their reporters because they don't have one. And then you got the Fox where, I don't know, if you want to hear a lot of homespun stuff and, you know, stuff that wouldn't make it to the big three, you can watch it on there. And so every morning, I will get up at the crack of dawn, and I'll throw on the one that I'm going to start with. I'll start with this.
Daniel, pardon me for saying this, but it sounds like you're torturing yourself.
Yeah, and I'll have it on for sometimes the whole day until I go to work, or sometimes for 5 minutes, and I go, oh, crap. Let me move on.
Do you turn it off when it gets to be wine time?
Yes. I change. That's all long gone. But I'm out of the house by then. But that's the way Stan would rank them. Neither one, none of the four surpassing what I think is good quality television in the morning. But if you have to, you got to go with what you got. And I'd go Wing TV, number one, NBC2, number two, Zivin, number three, and Fox, number four.
So Fox can't beat somebody that's not trying.
Yeah. Well, see, NBC2 has all the facilities. Great set, great everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's fast-moving, graphics, and all, but they're lazy because they're living off their early Today Show stuff.
Yeah.
That's Stan's take.
Not even just Lauer, going back all the way to when Katie was there.
But someone just texted this, and I did say it. The most beautiful people are on Wink TV. They have an agency where you can take the glossy book and look at these people. And
pick them?
Yes. And we, you and I, and I won't say it on the air, we know how NBC2 and 7 make their selections, which is different than the way that Wink TV makes their selections. Because I'll tell you, Wink TV, what a stable. I'm telling you. And I'm not, being sexist here. Ladies probably love the guys that are over at Wink because they're come out of a modeling fashion book, too. That cannot be said for NBC2. ABC 7.
It's a different method. Talent.
Yep. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. I better back out of this easy.
Yep.
To be a true champion, you need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up later on in the show, we'll play Stan's What's on the List. Chance to pick up some prizes later on as well. Our question of the week. We're going to do the grab bag here for you in just a second. Junior, you need to be aware of this because I'm going to do something. I understand not everybody likes to play the game of golf. So we're going to kind of do this a little separately, but we're going to go about doing the grab bag. Let me get this. This is going to happen on Sunday, and it is for the Passion Foundation. It's a golf outing. The Passion Foundation, a melanoma initiative. And I have a foursome. If you and three of your buddies want to play golf on Sunday, 1 p.m., shotgun start.
You'll be amazed how many buddies you have when that's the scenario.
Shotgun start at Stony Brook. The first person that calls on the K-Rock lines over to Junior and says, yeah, I've got a foursome I can put together for this Sunday. You're going to play a free round of golf, and it's all going to benefit the Passion Foundation. It's the annual golf outing, Sunday the 30th at Stony Brook, 277-9600. First person that wants to have a foursome for free to go out and play Sunday for a good cause, it's yours. 277-9600.
Stan, as you know, on Capitol Hill, they are awaiting Judge Brett Kavanaugh's testimony.
Yes.
Here at Beasley News, we have an exclusive.
We do.
We're told that what you will hear is Judge Kavanaugh testifying he didn't do it.
Yep. There you go.
So, you've got all the networks, they've got cameras there, everyone, they're all anticipating. We've broken the story for you. You don't have to watch the cable TV.
There you go. Oh, look at this. Grab bag, by the way, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
What's this?
Yeah, now that they're in their new location, they've changed the name a little bit because they've moved just a couple of miles north.
Nice.
It's the Pewter Mug North.
Very nice. I just, there's something about, a place that you can count on that's been there forever, and that's the Pewter Mug.
Here's something I also heard. You remember how in the old Pewter Mug where, you had the wood paneling?
Yeah.
With the new Pewter Mug North, they brought some of the old wood paneling with them.
Oh, I
some
love
of
the it.
Fixtures and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yep. So there you go. Tony may be dead, but I hear they're bringing the Sopranos back.
The Sopranos are back on HBO. But Tony's gone, so now there's a new mob boss making people pay for protection.
You should reimburse us for this protection. Why are we protecting you?
No, I'll come up with the money.
Because if they don't, they're going out of business.
Yeah, yeah. Out of business.
Can you imagine if you didn't have me?
I'll get the money by tomorrow.
Deals. You never know.
It won't happen again.
They agreed with me.
Suddenly he's real agreeable.
The new season of The Sopranos coming soon to HBO. Because there's a new boss in town.
Nobody's going to give me credit, but that's okay. That's okay.
Now, I know most people don't have time to do this. But I did an experiment last night. I told you about it briefly. Trump held the press conference yesterday, yeah. And I think it was happening while we were on the air.
It was, and afterwards, too, because I listened to a chunk of it going home.
And when I got home, I see, okay, there's a lot of stuff written about this press conference. Now, I didn't know it was going to be as long as it was, but I thought it would be interesting for me to watch the entire press conference and then read the coverage. Two completely different worlds.
Absolutely. A bizarre news. No.
I don't get that.
No, told it like it is. And Jim Acosta, I think after I ask my question, a young lady should be able to...
And then it was nothing but women from then on. And he even got called out by Colbert on that.
Oh, of course.
The Colbert said, yeah, okay, we get it. You're woke. Okay.
Oh, by the way, we have our foursome.
He is such a dick, that Acosta.
Yeah. Thank you for your participation. Our foursome has been selected. This, first of all, I never laughed so hard early in the morning putting this together because it's something we would do, my dad did, and we wanted to do to Dave.
Well, to clarify what Stan's saying is, Stan's dad didn't have friends so much as stooges.
Yep. Kind of like Vince McMahon and his stooges.
Yes.
And Pat Patterson,
yep.
The Briscoes.
Yep.
The family grandpa is sitting on the sofa. The family filmed this. It's awesome. I laughed so hard. Grandpa's sitting on the sofa. And they gave him some food to eat. It was a can of cat food. The label had fallen off. He's in there with the fork, digging into the can, and just eating up a storm. And he knows something ain't right.
And you've seen this in real life.
Oh, I have. And they filmed it, and they all had a good laugh. And he's feeble. As Grandpa was eating cat food right out of the can.
It's supposed to be chicken? What does it taste like? I got to read this. I think it's cat food. It's cat food.
It is.
What did you say?
He had big chunks of it on his fork right there. And it wasn't like one time and, oh, this is cat food. He took two or three bites of this right out
to
of the can.
To be sure.
Yeah, I think it was a fancy feast.
Oh,
yeah,
wow,
it was one of the little cans.
Yeah. Caesar.
Yep. Oh, it's hilarious.
What is it like to see that live when someone's eating cat food or dog food?
What my father did was take the cat food and spread it on bread. You know, the pate cat food.
And say it's something fancy.
Yep. And put it on, Wonder Bread. Put the angle cut on it. Fed it to his buddy Aldo.
And did Al notice?
I was small. I remember laughing and him eating it. And then I remember also when the gag was up. And hey, guess what? He just ate cat food.
Did he care?
I don't remember. I also remember my old man did that with a bottle of vodka. They used to like to drink, too. Yeah, it was a fifth. It was an empty bottle. And so my old man filled it to about three-quarters of the way full of water. And they're getting ready to leave the house. This is like 11 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. They're all getting ready, doing something on the farm. And my old man left the three-quarter full bottle of vodka sitting on the table.
But it's really water.
But it's really water. And so my father says to Al Dole, he says, look, you can't let this stuff go. Where's the cap? You can't let this stuff go to waste, Al. And so my father took the bottle, tipped it back, and took it down to like about a third left. And he goes, your turn. Oh, Stan, you can't be serious. I can't do it, man. I can't. Come on.
Yet it surprised no one that your dad could.
Yeah. That's the truth. Let's see what else we got. New study done that says men who talk fast are more attractive to women. I don't know about this. The example they use is the old commercial. We had this guy on the show. This John Machida, the fastest talker, the mm-hmm. one that used to do the commercials. I say, as a matter of fact, he's still around. JetBlue brought him back for a commercial not too long ago. But he was the fast talker guy that you'd see on the commercials.
Finish travel plans. I need to be in New York on Monday, LA on Tuesday, New York on Wednesday, LA on Thursday, New York on Friday. Got it?
Got it.
Got it. So you want to work here? What really makes you think you deserve a job here?
Well, sir, I think on my feet, I'm good to figures and have a sharp mind.
Excellent. Can you start on Monday?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Without hesitation.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And in conclusion, Jim, Bill, Bob, call Fred, Low, Dork, 8 and 10. Business is business. And as we all know, in order to get something done, you got to do something. In order to do something, we got to get to work. So let's get to work. Thank you for taking me. PD did a bang up job on putting you in charge of Pittsburgh.
Perfect.
I know it's perfect, Peter. That's why I picked Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's perfect. Peter, may I call you Pete?
Call me Pete.
Pete.
There's a Mr. Schnittler here to see you.
Come to wait 15 seconds.
Can you wait 15 seconds?
I'll wait 15 seconds.
Congratulations on your deal in Denver, Dave. I'm putting you down to deal with Dallas. Don, is it a deal? Do we have a deal? It's a deal. I got to go. I got a call coming in.
Remember me, Mr. Nonstop, the guy who can't stop, won't stop, don't cage me, don't fence me in, don't hold me back, and don't cut me short. Also, don't call me short. I'm sensitive about my height, but not about my weight. I look good for a 35-year-old.
We had him on the show. Remember, we had him on the show, had him read something really fast, and then after he was gone, we had it, and it was reel-to-reel tape, then we slowed it down.
It sounded normal.
He was surprisingly good. It was, he enunciated. Now, for you guys out there, what are you attracted to? All right, let me tell you.
They don't know. We don't know.
Nobody knows. Increasingly, the study didn't find that fast talking helps women get men. But it did find that women with breathy voices were more sexually experienced. Who had the best breathy voice of them all? Marilyn Monroe.
Didn't you just love the picture? I did. But I just felt so sorry for the creature at the end.
Sorry for the creature? Why'd you want him to marry the girl?
He was kind of scary looking, but he wasn't really all bad. I think he just craved a little affection. You know, a sense of being loved and needed and wanted.
That's a very interesting point of view.
Oh, do you feel the breeze from the subway? Isn't it delicious?
Yeah. Hey, Lauren Bacall, you're Kathleen Turner.
Yeah, oh yeah. Breathy.
Boy, in her day, Kathleen Turner
was gorgeous. Then she wound up looking like a man.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
I mean, she was very vital and feminine.
Yep.
And then it all changed.
In Romancing the Stone.
Mm-hmm. Body Heat?
Yep. Body Heat with, what's his name? Hurt. Who was the comedian that was doing the Bill Cosby stuff?
The one that was bagging groceries?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Owen.
No. Bill Cosby, the comedian.
Yeah, he did the Cosby Show.
No. The comedian that said about his...
Hannibal Buress.
Right.
Jerk.
And you were making reference to it, and it's true.
I'm surprised people don't realize that.
Comedians are, you know, sometimes going out and doing that kind of stuff to obviously make a name for themselves. Because after that, you know, he was pretty big for a while. Comedian, listen, this is heavy duty. Comedian Ted Alexandro just did a hit bit on Louis C.K. at the same club where Louis did his comeback set a few weeks ago. Remember, they were going to go and say, okay, let's see if you... So this Ted Alexandro is in the same club 2 weeks later and does nothing as far as his stand-up goes but slamming Louis C.K. And it's all recorded.
Clap it up for Ted Alexandro. Oh, thanks, guys, for almost clapping until I made it to the stage. What, does a guy have to be convicted of sexual assault to get an extended ovation? What do I have to do up here? Do I have to take my d*** out? What do I have to do for you to cheer my arrival at the stage?
Be tough funny.
Time for stand-up comedy. But what's with this PC culture? It's suffocating, right? Right? Why can't we just let Louis go back to writing jokes about how men are the gravest threat to safety of women?
But yeah, he's getting the laughs, isn't he?
He walks the walk. And I think that is to be commended. He's a performance artist.
Same stage. All right, this is fun. You know, Kiss is getting ready for their final tour.
Wait, that happened in the 70s.
I know, yeah. And so,
I think you got some bad information there, bud.
They're doing it again. It was so successful the last time, they're doing it again.
Then they did it again sometime in the 80s.
Yeah, they did it. They had their farewell thing in 2000.
And then they said, oh, no, wait. That was our last tour in makeup. We're not going to wear makeup anymore. And then they did a farewell tour without makeup, and then they came back and put the makeup back on to do another farewell tour because it's only fair to the fans, and that would bring us into the 2000s.
When they did their farewell tour.
Yeah.
Well...
the second farewell tour with the makeup.
Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley will snipe at each other. They worked together for so long, I don't know if they're best of friends... So, Paul Stanley did an interview with Rolling Stone. He did it yesterday. Talked about his voice and how it's changed over the years. And if you wanted to hear him sound like he did back in the 80s, then buy an album from the 80s. This is the way I sing now. Which is kind of him talking about how him and Gene Simmons would go at each other when Paul Stanley's voice wasn't up to doing certain songs.
Well, it's unrealistic.
I know. Well, here's Gene Simmons on stage at one of his solo shows earlier this month taking a pot shot at Paul Stanley about his voice. This was Gene Simmons on stage.
Oh, do I not want to sing? I'll sing everything. Because my voice always works. I don't lose my voice, Paul Stanley.
Well, Paul Stanley heard about that during the Rolling Stone interview.
They do very different things.
He had something to say.
Gene and I have been together, I think, 47 years or something around that. So, look, he's out having a great time. He's doing these you know, most of them are free concerts, and when he charges tickets, they don't sell a lot of tickets, and he's trying to keep it light for the couple hundred people or whatever. And we have a bond that is enviable, and this is family. We can snit all we want, and we can take little pot shots, but at the end of the day, nobody would stick up for him more than me, and vice versa.
By the way, they're going on tour together.
Haney, I got this one just for you. This is so great, and I wish it was longer. It's only about 20 seconds. And
you
I
know
wish
why Paul Stanley sang those songs to begin with?
Why?
Because Gene could never hit the note.
Because he couldn't. I did this for you. And we were just talking about it with the special that about Bill Murray and how he likes to crash places and do things and show up unexpected.
Oh, was that a special?
Yes.
Was it like a documentary?
Yes.
Remind me of how to get that.
I don't know if it's out yet.
I want to see that.
But he did it again last night or Tuesday night.
Well, it's what he does. Now it's expected.
This is beautiful. Bill Murray crashed a show at the Grand Ole Opry. Just walked out on stage. Who was performing?
Ricky Skaggs?
No, the Steel Drivers and John Prine.
No kidding!
And he walked out and decided to sing a little song.
They won't take me back to Middleburg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay. I'm sorry, master, place it too late and ask it. Mr. Peabody's cold train, hauled it away.
Isn't that great?
He's figured it out.
The grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Moat North.
The problem is getting to be that beloved in the first
place.
That
you can do that.
Because nobody sees Bill Murray as a threat.
Nope.
You're working security at the Grand Ole Opry. Well, it is Bill Murray. He'd probably want him out there.
We've been kicked off stage at our own shows. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
You'll miss us when we're gone. Thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Telephone number into the studio. It's area code 239-277-9600. You contribute maybe a prize. I am a little bit distracted because Judge Kavanaugh is now testifying, and he's yelling. And I just had Junior...
Did you have the volume on?
I just had Junior put on the closed captioning, but you didn't need to be a lip reader to understand that he was screaming at him.
Well, he's fighting for his life.
Yep, look at him, look. He is animated, he's angry.
He should be.
And he should be. Look.
I'm not seeing him like that.
No. Absolutely not. And he's laying into him. 277-9600. We got Stan and Haney Babaku Saw.
Oh, look at his wife.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's
it's hurting them all. Yep. We have Millennial Brewing Oktoberfest tickets. We have Pewter Mug North. $50 to Pewter Mug North in North Naples. We also have $20 to Bernie City Diner, complimentary auto health check from Naples Nissan. Just one of those left. 277-9600.
This is distressing.
It's very distressing. Look, I saw the earlier testimony with the woman.
Why is it not enough?
Something happened to her, but to accuse him all these years later when he was 17, and I don't know that it was him. I don't know that it was him. I'm looking at the monitor right now, and I see his wife in the background, and she's in complete distress, and he's yelling.
You know why this is happening to him? Because he said yes.
Yep. because he wanted to serve the country.
He's
at the behest of a president.
He's already one of the top federal judges in the country.
Yep.
He could have said, I don't want this, and nothing would have happened to him.
And let's just say that this doesn't go well for him, which it looks like it's not, and that's a shame.
I don't understand how.
How does he go back to what he was doing? That's his career. Does he have to resign from that? Is his career
ruined? Has he lost everything?
I'm sorry.
I imagine a firm would be very happy to have him and pay him a ton of money.
I can say right now, and this is nothing political about this at all, that much like watching Clarence Thomas back in 1991, what is being broadcast today is going to be replayed for decades.
He's holding nothing back, and he shouldn't. This is his chance. This is all he's got.
277-9600.
If you couldn't take me out on the merits when it was needed, this allegation was unleashed and publicly deployed. It's this
Ahoy.
Is bad.
Ahoy.
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 Yeah, hi.
How you doing? You were talking about your dad's gag with the vodka?
Yeah. He had a million of them.
I grew up in Michigan, and one of my first deer camps, everyone gets up in the morning and kind of heads their own way. And one of the guys waves some people over and said, hey, there must have been a big one in the camp last night. And there's a pile of stuff there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, stuff.
Reaches down, smells it, and takes the bite out of it, and all the guys start.
See, now that's beyond cruelty. I wouldn't even do that to Dave because that can make you sick. A good cat food or a dog food or, you know, something else that we'll do on Friday. I mean, it's not going to kill you.
No, but what he had done is he had gone out when he went out and dumped some milk duds out.
Yeah.
He said, this is a big stud. Or stag, so he was the one that was eating it. He wasn't telling anybody else to do it.
All right, well, that's good.
Rabbit raisins.
Yeah. 277-9600. What my old man used to like to do, and we'll get to your phone calls. It's just that they come flooding back.
Piece of work.
There was always work on the farm.
You know, you get past the cruelty, there's a lot of entertainment there.
Yeah, that's right, and as a kid, I loved it. Yeah, there was a lot of work to do on the farm. You know, even watch an episode of Bonanza where little Joe and Hoss have to go out to the back 14 to fix some fences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what would happen on a farm. Horse or cow or something would knock down some fence. And so my old man used to take the old Jeep weapons carrier out there with Al Dole and have the hammer in his back pocket and have his shirt pulled over it. The hammer's sitting right there to fix the fences. And he'd get there. Oh, where the hell? Did I forget the GD hammer? Look, Al, go back to the tool room. The hammer is on the pegboard. Go back there and get me the hammer so we can get to work on these fences. He had it in his back pocket the whole time. And he would say to me, go with him. I was in on it. I knew what was going on. So we'd go back. There's no hammer on the pegboard. There's the...
Because everybody knows where the hammer is but him.
And he can't find the hammer on the pegboard. I said, well, maybe it's on the floor. Maybe he left it on the bench.
Knowing full well what you're doing.
Uh-huh. And he couldn't find it.
And how old were you at this point?
14. I'm loving 14, 15. I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I imagine he... By that point, Dad knew you were quite effective.
And he would be in such distress and would drive the...
What am I going
to
do?
We'd drive the Jeep back to
the... Can't find the hammer
anywhere.
We'd
drive the Jeep back to the thing, and he'd have to tell my father, I can't find the hammer. And, of course, my old man, what the hell? Do I have to go myself and do it? Well, I can't find it. He'd send him back a second time. And again, he'd come back, and I can't find it.
He would either do one of two things, because this isn't the only time he did it.
And it was fallen for every time.
Every time. He'd either come back after the second time, and my old man had the hammer out and was hammering away, and he'd tell him, oh, I had it. I just misplaced it. Or what he would do is go back himself. All right, you know what? Give me the Jeep. You stay here.
You want something done right.
You got to do it yourself. And he'd come back holding it. What's this? 277-9600.
And it worked every time.
Every time. Because you didn't know where it was coming from. Al was accident prone himself.
Now, he is the guy that washed his hair in the toilet.
Yes, that's the guy. Because my mom just got a brand new car, and he was supposed to back it into the garage, and left the door open as he was leaning out to back up, ripped the door right off the car. It's hanging there, and he's got to go tell my old man he just ripped the door off a brand new car. I got a million of them. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Eric. How you doing?
Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, you know, this whole Kavanaugh thing, it stinks so much of a Democrat desperation hatchet job.
Absolutely.
It just makes me disgusted.
That's what Kavanaugh's saying right now.
Yeah. The reason why I was calling.
Yes.
Real quick. You guys had the CDB on the way back on Monday. Yeah, play The Legend of Woolly Swamp.
Yeah.
And that made me go back to the Greatest Hits album, and I was listening to that yesterday, and there's one song on that called In America that I think everybody needs to listen
to. We've played it on the show. It's a great
song.
It's such a great song.
I know it by heart.
Yeah.
Well,
it gives me goosebumps and just makes me proud to be an American.
The eagle's been flying low and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America is fixing to fall.
I just wanted to tell you guys that and see if Baby Haney would play it in the background.
What can I get you?
Oh, I don't know. You got anything in the Cape?
No, I don't know. Where did my price sheet go? Now, I've got Pewter Mug, I've got Bernie's. Both of them are in North Naples.
You know what? Let me get the Pewter Mug,
sure.
And I'm going to take my wife on a special night out there.
Oh, you're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
Brand new Pewter Mug North. Hold on.
You know, it seems like for so many years that the Republicans just play along knowing full well what they're dealing with is nonsense. Because they fear public opinion. I think they need to be a little more assertive.
One of our lefty friends actually made a tremendous point on the Absolute Law text line. And this shows me whether you can be have different political views, but human morality. Believe it or not, guys, I agree with you on Kavanaugh. Every man in America should be scared today.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I don't agree with him or you guys politically, but every man should be scared today. 277-9600. There you go. There you go. That's for you, buddy. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How's it going?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, I got two things real quick. You reminded me of when I used to help my dad and I couldn't find a tool, and he would say, go play with your mother.
My old man used that line. Go play with your mother. You want to go play dolls with your sister?
Exactly. I've heard that plenty of times. But, you know, the last thing that you read, Dan, with the Kavanaugh thing, it's got me feeling the same way. I'm nervous and I'm scared and I'm mad. And I feel like any self-respecting boy growing up did everything that he's being accused of doing. If a girl said no, you would say please. If she said no again, you'd say pretty please,
The weird thing is he's not accused of rape.
He's not. She feared that she was going to be raped because he allegedly was on top of her. Now, they're going to go, and I saw Blumenthal from Connecticut.
You're talking about the war hero?
Yeah, the guy. Who did
Stolen Valor.
Yep. He went and was saying, they said, well, what's on the table for you to ask Judge Kavanaugh? Said, everything. Well, what do you mean everything? The sexual assault? Yeah, the drinking, the partying.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
And look,
I know for a fact.
That's what went on.
You'd go to the keg parties. You'd go and make sure you spiked that punch a little bit. You went and had yourself. You had fun, and it was kids doing kid stuff. And sometimes you got in trouble. Sometimes you didn't. But it was something everybody did.
Yeah, and if you said pretty please, sometimes they change their mind.
Sometimes.
Well, none of us would be here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. None of us would be here.
You got to think about it. It's, you know, they like to say, oh, it's the most natural thing in the world. Well, maybe after you've been with somebody for a while, but it's the most unnatural thing in the world for two people that really don't know each other that well.
I
thank God that I'm the age I am.
Me too.
And not starting out in life.
And the thing is, what is the future going to be like? Kavanaugh comes from an era that we came from.
And he has lived an exemplary life. Yeah,
there were no cell phones, computers, nobody. Let me tell you, if they were at the high school party and that there were 10 different parties, rapes going on, everybody and their cousin would have their cell phone out filming it.
And you
then
know,
there's no dispute.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but they have put Brett Kavanaugh's yearbook all over the place.
Yeah.
Her yearbook has been suppressed. Now, people caught it before they took it off the internet and reposted it, but her yearbook shows the exact same thing on the part of an all-girls school.
Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a chance to win when we come back. I'll throw in some Universal Halloween Horror Nights in the prize list if you can guess what's on the list. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
Making Mr. Beasley a wealthy man for most of our adult lives.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciated. It's a Thursday, as I like to say, Friday Eve. About 25, 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, our question of the week in 1 hour. We're going to play a game here in just a second. What's on the list? Give you a chance to win something during the break, just watching the Kavanaugh thing. And
he's fighting for his life.
He's fighting for his life. And he, if you saw any of the news footage from a couple of weeks ago in his confirmation hearings, this is a totally different Judge Kavanaugh. He's fighting for his life, and he is emotional, he is strong, and he's forceful, and he is going at it. Piece of history right now.
It
shouldn't be, but it is. No matter how it turns out, this is a piece of history, and it'll be looked at years from now as one of the nation's low points.
I think it will be looked at and looked at quizzically.
Yep.
What was this?
Yep. Because and I say this to men and women that are listening to the sound of our voices. This Ford woman, Dr. Ford, gave a pretty emotional, impassioned plea, a lot of holes, but she came across to me as somebody who experienced something in her life. And she says, oh, well, it's Judge Kavanaugh. I was in the office, I was working, and I was listening to her testimony. And you can't help but think, my God, something has happened in her life. Now, Judge Kavanaugh is having his say, defending himself, defending his life.
And he's never wavered.
And he's going on it with such passion. And the thing that just pops into my head, somebody is not telling the truth. You can't have, everybody says, and I was talking to people at the radio station here today, well, maybe it's something in the middle. Not Mm-mm. when it's this
no.
far apart.
No, and he doesn't claim it's something in the middle.
Not when it's this far apart. Somebody is lying. With that being said, I saw her testimony this morning, and I said to myself, as she had was on the verge of tears, by the way, Kavanaugh's sniffling, that something happened to this woman. And she has her own personal memories of something that happened. And I believe something happened to her.
From his standpoint, if somebody is out and out lying, how the hell do you defend yourself?
You can't defend that.
So she wins.
I just...
We've seen things like this happen.
Yep. And I will say this. I was telling Annie outside. Regardless of the outcome of this, and I don't think it's going to wind up good for Kavanaugh. I hope it does, and I hope they approve him and put him on the bench, and he serves the next 40 effing years. I hope so. But I don't know that that's going to be the case. And the fact of the matter is, a life of... Leave him out of it. Leave the Ford out of it. You have a wife. Where are you ladies with the suffering his wife's going through? You have two daughters who are being subject to this, and their family has been destroyed, his career destroyed over political reasons for something that happened when he was 17, allegedly. How? Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, thank God, that's not me. All because he got a phone call from the President of the United States of America and asked, would you serve? I want to nominate you.
It would be an honor. Thank you.
Yep. He didn't have to do it. One of our best legal minds, whether you agree with him or not, he's a brilliant legal mind. And a man that has just been raked through the coals and will be for years to come. And his family as well.
Oh, the entire meaning of his existence has permanently changed. Prior to this.
Even if he gets through this.
Yep.
Because there are people who will not change their minds.
Prior to this, he had a spotless record.
Oh, God.
And this isn't a recent thing. He's been suggested as a candidate for like 10 years.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, we're looking at this guy who seems to have led an exemplary life, has a beautiful family. He's a federal judge. Still has time to volunteer for his kids' basketball team. And all of it means nothing. Because
his poor wife. As he's just trying to save himself.
And it's impossible. And well, I don't know if they teach it anymore. We were taught in school about how things are supposed to work. That you're innocent until proven guilty. You can't prove a negative. It's not incumbent on you to prove you didn't do something.
You know what? Blumenthal. Booker.
Cynical people.
Who's that senator from Hawaii? What's her name?
Oh, I don't know. I call her Shut Up.
Yeah, the one that said, shut up. These people are evil.
Mm-hmm.
They're evil people. They will stop at nothing to crush someone.
And
You know, there's got to be a point in time where you say, you know what? Enough's enough.
And you look at somebody like Chuck Grassley, who is trying to deal with this And you just see it in his eyes. He can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to be fair. We want to do this. And it's being cynically taken advantage of. He has to go. And he's doing it right now. He's the only one that can say, I'm a good man.
Yep.
I didn't do this. There's nobody to help him.
Can I say something right now? And we were planning to do a game. And I always like to think this show is a diversion. Oh, yeah, we got our opinions, but we got our opinions about everything.
No, this is everywhere.
But this is on the monitor right now. And this affects every single person in America. And I was at the point of super saturation with this crap. I couldn't take it anymore. And mm-hmm. now I watch what's going on today. And I say to myself, what do you tell parents? What do you tell your kids, boys and girls? What do you tell them? What do you tell them when you have, in some sections of politics, mob rule? Mob rule. And I was not raised that way. We
were not taught that that was how things are done.
No.
We were taught that that is not what's done.
And most of us, and I say this 1,000 times, where you have, and I've poked at Haney about it too, because he goes in depth politically on just about everything. The average person understands that there are politics going on, that the president says something, or that they get a tax break from Congress and all. And that's great because I get a few more dollars in my mm-hmm. paycheck. The economy's great. I've got a job. You know, PA's working again. It's the peripheral. You have to get up every morning before the sun comes up to make sure your kids can get to the school bus stop, or you're right now waiting in school pickup, and it's what's for dinner, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's working, dad's working. You might have a time tonight as the kids are doing the homework. The parents are doing something, watching TV, cleaning up the house, doing the dishes. And guess what? It starts again tomorrow morning. Get up for school and let's live our lives. And maybe we can take a vacation this summer. And all this stuff it doesn't bother me. I hate politics. I don't follow politics. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, it's different right now. It's different right now. You know why it's different right now? Because what's happening on national television is going to affect your kids, you, the way you're perceived in your workplace,
mm-hmm.
the way you're perceived in public, and that anybody can go and point a finger at you because they don't like you and ruin you. You can do that. You know what? I understand there's dirty politics, dirty pool. It's been going on forever. And then at the end of the day, you got to have a vote. You got to decide, is this going to work or not going to work? Whether Congress is stuck, their gears don't move anymore because there's so much disagreement, fine. It's tabled and it's put off to another time. But right now, it's somebody's life. It's their family's lives. It's their friends' lives. It's our institution of government in itself, of having somebody serve on the Supreme Court. And it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, that they would go and bring a man down like this. Now, look,
Something happened to that woman. Something happened. I believe that. Something happened to her. And I'll tell you right now, I have a, and I don't brag about it, my degree's in psychology. If you have a predator, if you have a predator at a young age molesting, raping, setting up gangbangs at 10 parties, they don't change. They're predators. How can you go 36 years without a blemish, with nobody in that time saying anything? Multiple FBI checks, everything. A perfect family. Perfect man in the community. And by his peers, looked at as unreproachable.
He's
the best. And then this come up as, and I said this to Haney. I said, what happened was, is he was going to be confirmed. And because of politics, somebody, Feinstein, had in her back pocket the A-bomb. And if we can't bring him down on...
legitimately.
We're going to do it this way, because we can't have the swing vote on the Supreme Court for the next 40 years be a Republican nominated by Trump. That means he gets two. Oh, my God, that's Kennedy's spot. We can't give that one up.
He clerked for Kennedy.
I know. We are going to read about this. We are going to see the news clips. Your kids will be adults with their own kids, and you're going to see these clips. And it's one of the lowest points in American history. Lowest.
Because what they did, transparently, is they were hopeful they could defeat his nomination by legitimate means. They tried. They knew they failed. He passed every test.
Yeah. I wanted to do something fun. I can't.
And once he passed every test, that's when they went to this.
And guess what? He's on the verge of tears. He's from his gut reading his statement, and they're going to go question him now. The questioning begins. And watch. And really look at, think, put you in that situation when these Democratic senators, with no scruples whatsoever, listen to that whole thing with earmuffs on and go after them.
And one thing I think that's important is you hear the phrase a lot, we need to take this seriously. They didn't take it seriously.
Correct.
This could have come out months ago during the proper time, during the process. It's very transparent what's happening.
I didn't want to have to say this, and I didn't want to have to waste a break doing this. It had
you
to
didn't
be said.
Waste it.
It had to be said. Well, we're standing, Haney. We'll be back.
Southwest Florida's only radio show powered by alternative energy. Our show is produced through a volatile combination of superheated air and methane. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Still got time to get the safe word in for 4 o'clock. That's DRAW. D-R-A-W. DRAW. The new K-Rock app or at 96krock.com. Put the word in there.
I hope you have no regrets about the previous break.
No, I don't
like... Because you were right on point.
I don't like having to say that. I don't... I understand to a degree this is an entertainment show, but we also try to inform you. You also know our opinions.
It's just when something's going on,
and when
you can't
something's
ignore
going
it.
On, I can't ignore it.
It shouldn't be ignored.
Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Our first look
now. K Rock traffic.
All right, let's see. I will start in Fort Myers. First, we have a crash. Daniels Parkway and 6 Mile Cypress Parkway. One more in Fort Myers. Crash, Cleveland Avenue and Cypress Lake Drive. Two showing up in Lehigh Acres. We have a crash. 28th Street Southwest and Sarah Avenue South. And the other one is Olympia Point Boulevard and Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's about to tell you. He's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will, of course, have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
How many meals a day do you eat?
8.
Because you've got to have those small meals. Isn't that what Pat tells you?
Yeah, and I'm a nibbler. No, I think I have 3 meals a day. I have breakfast, which consists of 4 cigarettes and 2 cups of coffee.
Exactly.
Lunch, and I'll eat something at dinner and then, you know, nibble.
You're a grazer.
Yep, a grazer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out most people do not eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner like we were taught normal people do.
What do they do? What do they do?
We'll tell you.
In less than an hour.
A couple of a-hole buddies went out to play golf. They had no idea that it happened in England. We'll tell you what they did on the news, but I can tell you this now.
What?
What they were able to accomplish beat odds of 1 in 17 million.
2 holes in 1. 2 double eagles.
We'll tell you. Can you tell me what the first thing you ever bought on Amazon was?
Probably a CD. No, a book. Obviously a book.
Well, you don't have to wonder about it. You can look it up.
Huh?
They keep track of everything.
How do you look it up?
We will tell you.
I'd love to see that.
Thieves break into a marijuana shop and end up stealing oregano.
Idiots. That's a Dave move.
He's not even here and he gets it.
Oh, and I got a different approach with him tomorrow. I'm out of it. If he goes off and goes into his little spaz moves and all that stuff, I'm going to let it. If we miss sponsorships, if we miss segments of the show, I'm going to watch and prove to everybody who said, I'm too hard on Dave, let him go and run things the way he wants to and watch it go off the rails, and I'll wash my hands of it.
Stan, he memes well.
I don't want to hear that.
And finally, a drunk driver flags down the police to complain about people trying to stop her from driving drunk. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. God, we need some laughter today. We really need some laughter.
Mama.
Where's
what
mama?
Happened?
Where's mama? Where's the mama part of it? What's... Mark...
Stan.
Junior.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
All right. Hey, he passed.
He sure did. Today is Google's 20th birthday.
Oh, jeez.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Google fun facts.
Top Google fun facts.
Before Google existed, people learned things through an ancient process called reading books.
Yep.
It's faster than Yahoo, more powerful than Bing, and if you're asking about AOL, hi, Nana.
You know that that's true. There's an employee here who has, and I'm not going to say names, and I'm not going to, this is just think of it as hypothetical, but there's somebody here whose parents are still alive and they're in their mid-90s. And have all the Microsoft and all that, but still pay every month to have their...
Does that even exist?
Yeah, it still does.
Good Lord.
I think it's their mail service. Still paid it and didn't use it.
Lord. Despite the fact that Google Translate can translate over 80 languages, it still has no idea what it may be that Benicio del Toro is saying. It's worth more than you could ever afford, but then again, so is a six-pack of craft beer. Even your grandmother's search history would make Charlie Sheen blush.
Where's Mama? Where's the Mama?
Mama.
Of all the funny doodles on Google's homepage, the company's favorite is the picture of their founders counting money and laughing at you. And finally, the very top Google fun fact. All the janitors at Google's headquarters are former Yahoo executives.
Words.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Freddy, email time. This, I'll start right off with The Guardian. He's been
Jesus.
Watching, he's been watching TV.
I don't know how...
He's got his impressions.
I do not know how the Guardian's head has not exploded by now.
Well, this email came to us earlier today while Dr. Ford was still testifying. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I am watching the hearing, and oh my God. Why doesn't she just break down and cry instead of pretending to be all emotional and on the verge of crying? Well, take a look at the judge. It's emotional, and you gotta fight back the tears. I do that every day.
We both do.
Yeah. The left hasn't asked her one hardball question. They didn't.
They're not going to.
They wanted to make their statements. They wanted to say how proud they are. And the very fact that she cannot remember all of the facts. If she was so upset, why didn't she say something to her parents? Well, I can understand that. Not everybody was as a close-knit family as yours, Guardian. You got great kids. But I know for a fact,
with my sister. There were some things that she was up to in her high school years that if my old man ever knew about it...
People would have died.
Her answer, because I didn't want them to know I was at a party with no adults and I was drinking. Yeah, trust me. That's a legitimate answer that she gave. Quite frankly, I don't believe her. Frankly, I don't believe her that it was Kavanaugh. Not that it didn't happen, just who it was. And I agree with you there, Guardian. I guess it just is a question of who do you believe. One thing to remember, she has a degree in psychology.
And she used it today.
She most certainly did. Finally, heard you guys talking about the new football league. Why the Orlando Apollos?
I assume it's a tribute to the space program, yeah. Guardian.
Why not the Orlando Crush? The Apollos sounds a little fruity. No, it's to the space program, I would assume.
That's the only thing I could make out of it.
You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
All right, here's what we're going to do when we come back. We do it every Thursday. I like to call it Friday Eve. Every Thursday we pose to you our question.
Oh, Friday Eve. Oh, I like that. That's delish.
It's just Marv.
Easy. God help us all.
Yeah. We'll pose to you our question of the week. You have the right answer. There is no wrong answer because it's your story. We'll pose it to you. We'll open up the phones and you can answer our question of the week. We will do it next. This is the Stan and Haney program.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Stan and Haney in the afternoon.
96 K-Rock.
Nothing changes for us. And I think that's a good thing.
I think so.
Yeah. Stan and Haney, about 30 minutes away from Mark Haney in the news. Let me tell you about tomorrow. And then I'll pose to you our question of the week. We'll do some traffic. That gives you a chance to pick up the phone and answer our question of the week. Zito, tomorrow from 4 to 6, that's during our show, so we'll be talking to him, is going to be at the Millennial Brewing in downtown Fort Myers for the kickoff of their Oktoberfest.
The big hoo-ha?
It is the big hoo-ha. Of course, all week long, we're giving you a chance to win tickets for admission. This is a three-dayer, the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Just a rager, huh?
You know what? That's good. Downtown. And I like these brewing companies. I'm so glad because a few years ago, there were none.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're popping up, and we got Millennial Brewing doing their Oktoberfest. If you want more details, you go to 96krock.com. Just real quick, they're questioning him about drinking beer in high school. What the?
You know who this man is? And you're asking him about drinking beer in high school.
Yeah. Do you ever wake up in a place where you don't remember being?
She's asking him now if he went to Becky's, and then he says yes, and Denise and Lori were there. This is just asinine.
Yeah. Our question of the week, because this is going on. And I posed it to Junior earlier. I don't know what his answer is. I posed it to Zito. Every one of us, let's go back to your high school days. Go back to your high school days. You and your friends hung out at a particular place. That was the spot where the cool kids went. Or if you weren't a cool kid, you went to the place where the dorks went. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's your answer. Think back to your high school days. Where was your hangout? Was it at an establishment? Was it in the woods?
Oh, yeah.
Was it, at somebody's house? It was the place when school got out, you didn't have practice, or you didn't have...
Some of us didn't wait for school to get out.
And that would be the place on the weekends. You know, you and your gal, you'd go and meet up with the other classmates.
Well, you know what?
Where would you hang out?
Weekends were made for.
Michelob.
What do you know about this, Mr. Kavanaugh? Have you ever had a Michelob beer?
You know, as in every night, tonight, let it be lowbrow.
Mm-hmm.
But weekends are made for Michelob.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special.
Where, our question of the week, where was your high school hangout? Where'd you guys congregate when you had free time? 277-9600. We'll take your calls as soon as we take a look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash, Hancock Bridge Parkway and Orange Grove Boulevard. Fort Myers, crash, Cleveland Avenue and College Parkway. Also Fort Myers, crash, Three Oaks Parkway and Alico Road. Lehigh Acres, crash, Alabama Road North and Homestead Road North. And this one's in Bonita. Crash, Coconut Road and Imperial Parkway. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. Our question of the week. Well, Kavanaugh's being grilled about it. Where were you when you were 17?
Defend yourself.
Yeah. Our question of the week. Y'all, everybody had them. Where was your high school hangout? You had the favorite spot to go, whether it was on the weekend or after school. 277-9600. I'll tell you where ours was. I had my little hot rod car, had the Roadrunner, and for some reason, the congregating point was at the McDonald's, right at the Canton Avon line, and it was right off of the highway, and so we could go and cruise with our cars up and down the highway on a Saturday, and then we'd pull it into McDonald's, and people working at the McDonald's at that one were all people we went to school with, and I guess, you know, they had the rule, I don't know if it's still around, where, you know, you could only keep the cheeseburgers under the heat lamp for so long, and they'd be thrown out. And as the stuff was getting ready that wasn't sold, they'd always come out to the parking lot, get us some cheeseburgers, some fries, and we'd put them in the console of the cars, back out on the highway, cruising around. Hey, how are you? Woo-hoo! Let's get a six-pack of Löwenbräu.
Woo!
And we used to congregate at that McDonald's, and they never rousted us out of there.
Because you knew everybody.
Knew everybody, had a big parking lot in the back, and that's, we would park, hang out there, people would bring out and crank up their Jensen triaxes.
Nice.
And we'd have all the same station on and blast it, or people would play cassette tapes. That's what we did. That was our hangout. What about you? Where was, Haney, where was your hangout for, you know, the memorable times of high school?
Well, I am, again, an outlier.
Yeah, always have been.
Because I started working so early. The times that you're talking about are probably when most people are more closer to 17. I would have been much younger than that.
Right.
But I staked out. I always knew where the woods were.
I know you knew. Yeah.
Another big one was the beach.
Yeah, well, you being down here in Daytona and Melbourne, and
well,
yeah.
Daytona, I was just a kid.
But the beach was—you were brought up, raised at around the beach.
Yeah, over in Melbourne, it was a great time, because of the age that I was, and when you first start to get that taste of freedom,
that's what it was. And it was. It was a taste of making your own decisions, who you wanted to hang out with, where you wanted to go.
And, you know, for you it was low and brown. For me it was a six-pack of Mickey's.
No, well, my beer of choice was Michelob. And I'm not talking about Michelob Ultra. I'm not talking about Michelob.
No, there was no such thing.
It was Michelob.
That's all there was.
That's what there was. And that was the thing. And I don't understand why we didn't keep it in a cooler. You know what the cool thing to do then? And that you wanted to see, oh, you got paid from Mr. Steak, Stan. Because everybody, the guys would do this. They'd have the six-pack with the handle in their hands, and you'd walk around with it like you were carrying a briefcase, and you'd finish one, put it in, pull the other one out.
You know, to distill it down, and you don't realize at the time how great it is, and how innocent you really are, but a six-pack of Mickey's, a girl you like wants to go with you,
and I
wouldn't carry it around like a briefcase. But I always had a radio or a cassette recorder so that we could have music. And that was the perfect night. That's all I needed.
That's what you got to bring it with you when you're in the woods.
I own those woods, baby.
Junior, you're a different generation than Haney and I. Your high school day is much more recent, but where was your hangout?
Well, my friend had a condo that he lived with his dad. It was right down the street from our high school. And we would always go there to cause trouble, you know. If we throw huge parties, get busted.
Can you define trouble? What that means to you?
Yeah. What does trouble mean to you?
Can I say it on there?
Let's leave it at that. All right. And that was what, about a year or two ago?
Something like that.
277.
Yeah, we got to be careful with him.
Yeah, it's recent. Ours, you can't prosecute. Statute of limitations is over. Where was your high school hangout? Everybody had a different high school hangout. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Yeah, we used to hang out at a local dive bowling alley, and it was
back
in the mid-90s when you were still allowed to smoke inside. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's back when we were bowlers.
Yeah, the whole place was covered in a haze, and you spent the whole time trying to sneak into the back room to play pool where it was 21 and older.
Oh, I can completely identify.
Were you successful?
Never.
Did you ever have a fake ID?
I did. I took my older sister's, and I actually got caught because somebody that was working went to school with her.
Oh, Colin, that's not fair.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Bye, Amanda. 277-9600. Yeah, there'd be certain nights where we had the gals and we'd go bowling. It's where I told you about my buddy Paul, the fat one. He drove us. He had a big, big, giant tuna boat of a car.
Boat of a car, yeah.
And we were all, you know, have some schnapps there and, you know, a little vodka. And we get to the bowling alley. Well, you could fit eight people in his car. And he drove because he didn't have a date. And we get to the bowling alley, and we're all going, all right, let's go in and bowl a few strings. And he sat in the car because he was depressed, and he said, no, I'm not going into the bowling alley. And he held up a bottle of vodka, and he said, this is my only girlfriend.
Oh,
and he chugged it, and he passed out in his car in the parking lot.
And he's your driver.
Yeah, well, somebody else drove, because when we were all done at about, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, we go out to, he might have had a Bonneville.
Nice car.
Yeah, and he was in the back seat, out like a light. We made sure he got home. Yeah.
Ooh, Lindsey Graham is going to town.
You're darn right. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tori, how are you?
Good, buddy. Where was your high school hangout back in the day?
Well, as a fellow graduate of Mariner High School in Cape Coral, our favorite hangout was the Yucatan.
Now,
tell us about that.
What is that?
Well, I'll tell you as much as I can. It was, you know, just I wasn't really into country music, but it was seemed to be where they all congregated, and we'd go out there on the weekends. And back then, it was Zima. Zima was all the
sure.
You didn't go as far as Zima Gold, did you?
I stopped at Zima Gold, but I did graduate to Gold Slugger.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal. Good. Zima. Yeah. Let me all right. Now, Haney knows this, too. Zima, that was what, 80s, 90s?
It was 90s, yeah.
When I was in high school, the alternative to beer was champagne.
Oh, yeah. I purchased champagne for
was
a young lady.
A malt beverage.
Malt liquor.
But it was like a little mini bottle of champagne, and it had the hint of a champagne taste.
I remember being with a really stupid girl, and she said, "Oh, I can't drink beer like you guys. Is there anything else?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take care of it." So I get her like a couple of bottles of champagne,
mm-hmm.
and I opened
it had the foil wrap on it.
Yeah,
too.
I opened it and handed it to her. And it was at that point I knew I didn't want to see her again because you know what she said when I handed her the champagne?
What?
Ooh, classy.
Ahoy, who's this?
Mike. Cool.
What's your first name?
Mike.
Mike, where was your high school hangout back in the day?
I grew up out west, out in California, and we used to hang out at an old broken down oil field with an oil pump on the end. And we'd go swimming out there, jumping off the oil rig, and like you said, we used to drink Mickey's Big Mouth, and for the riddles on the bottom of the cap,
yep.
It was great, man.
That sounds like great memories. That must have been great. And you know what I'm going to tell you right now? Those of you that have those places, think back, take 10 seconds and just think back and how fun they were.
Well, I've told you, man, this was pretty much, you know, before partying and girls, although they did intersect at one time. There was an abandoned luxury hotel right in my hometown, and it was just sitting there. And it's this huge place. If you think about like a Scooby-Doo haunted house, it's what it looked like. And it was popular like in the 20s. And I would go in there, and I did a lot of photography. I'd take a lot of pictures, but just exploring this place and being able to be in that environment,
yeah.
There's something about it that just draws a kid in. I saw a video the other day where it still goes on, where this kid and his buddies, I guess they closed down the mall in Titusville. It's been closed for some, I think it was called like the Miracle City Mall or something. And he did a series of videos of exploring the abandoned mall.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I grew up north, so you had winter. A high school kid who can get his hands on beer would do just, I can remember being outside in a parking lot or in the woods and you start like a small fire to keep warm. It would be 0 degrees outside. Bundled up with hoods and jackets and snow boots just to get out there with your friends and have a cold one when you really didn't need a cold one. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dick.
Dick?
Yes.
Hey, Dick. Where was your high school hangout?
Well, the first place was an establishment called No Place. So you could tell your parents when they ask you where you're going, I'm going No Place.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was a state park, which you could get in the back way and avoid everything and go up and watch submarine races, but there were no submarines.
Yeah.
277.
Good place to go snipe hunting.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You haven't grown up to be a man until you've gone snipe hunting. Junior doesn't know what snipe hunting is. No. Nope.
You never been on a snipe hunt?
What?
What is that?
Okay, never mind. One day, Haney and I'll take you snipe hunting.
I don't know if he's up to it.
No, I don't think so. 277-9600. Yeah, I went snipe hunting just a little later in life because I'm northern born. I come down to Florida at 18. And the first time that I was down south here making the south my home, a couple of hunters said, come on, let's we'll go doing some hunting and we'll take you boys snipe hunting.
Well, that was nice of them.
Yeah.
Any luck?
All for some. Yeah. Others not so lucky or happy. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is John from Naples. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy. Where was your high school hangout?
It was a Hammerheads pool hall out of Naples. My dad was a lawyer who represented the guy that was the owner of the pool hall. And so,
that's a good inn.
It is. It is. I exploited that situation quite often. My friends and I would go there and enjoy our fill of Miller Lite. So that's where we always went to for a couple of years when we were in high school.
Good deal.
Did you get good at pool? Oh, he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, you do something like that, you get good at pool. Or, well, you use the pool tape.
Yeah.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello.
Yes, who's this?
This is Eddie.
Eddie, where was your high school hangout?
Behind Orange 106. Do you know where that was?
Yeah, that's
Orange 106.
That
we own it now.
Yeah.
That was behind your building, drinking Strawberry Hill, Boone's Farm, and throwing them at the tower.
Oh, nice job. Nice job. Are you sure it was this building?
Oh, yeah. It was before you guys extended the building.
Because we were... Because
106 hasn't been here for a long time.
No, we were Q96.
Yep, that was after 106.
Let me explain something to you, and I want you to get the building right. And I know that you think in your head, because trust me, I've been here.
What city is it in?
Fort Myers, well, Estero now.
Okay, so
this was a one station building. Well, you had the AM.
Before it was Q96, it was Orange 106.
I don't know. I want to.
I thought that this started with K Rock.
Yes, I thought. Q96 and Orange 106 were two separate radio stations at the same time.
106 went out and Q96 came in.
Okay. So what, changed frequencies? Because we have 106. We bought it, but it wasn't ours to begin with. And this building, the building that we're in right now, housed one radio station.
Yeah, it was just a single family home.
Yeah. And had in a little phone booth of an area. It was called, and I think it's still the call letters, WCN, which ran CNN headline news nonstop on the AM.
Until Mike Bradley took over.
Yep. Made things rock. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Mike.
Mike, where was your high school hangout?
North Fort Myers by Hancock Bridge Parkway and 41 there by the Pepsi sign.
By the Pepsi. Well, the marina's there now, isn't it?
It's near there, but there used to be a Pepsi sign in front of the convenience store. And we used to all hang out there and people would race up and down the road.
Was it like woods or you just used the sign as a landmark?
It was a main road and it was just a Pepsi sign there.
And so you just pulled by the sign?
Yeah, we just pulled in the parking lot. It was an empty parking lot.
Right. Sweet. Yeah. Just open space is a nice thing to
it
have.
It is. And open space is better if it's got a hard top on it.
Mm.
Take the cars in, pop open the trunks.
You know, come to think of it, there was one time on the other coast when I was a kid. I had just started in radio, but I got an invite from a party from somebody I didn't know well, and they said, no, you got to come see it. We're going to have a band. We're going to have all this. And I'm like, I have no idea what to expect. And I couldn't even tell you where it is to this day, but I had directions that night. And so I said, all right, I'll check it out. And like I said, I barely knew the person that invited me. So these are not my friends. I don't know these people. It takes me into an industrial area, into this giant warehouse, and they have this thing set up like an arena.
Yeah, I wish I knew.
It was as far as a private party, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Caller was wrong. You are right, Stan.
It was Orange 107, not 106, and they were based out of Lehigh.
Yeah, but he's describing our building.
This was Q96, because Stan and Haney Boulevard used to be Q96
Boulevard. Yep. 96 Super Q.
Yep. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, feel free to email us. We'll try to get some of them on the air tomorrow. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney in the news is next.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage.
A nice enough guy, but way too much baggage, if you know what I mean.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Mark Haney and the news coming up here in just a second. Roger Marley, that hothead, will be in at 6 o'clock. Take you through your evening, and he will have a 6 o'clock safe word for you. Could get you a thou. He had a $1,000 winner last night that Roger Marley did.
Wow. One of Marley's listeners figured it out.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I don't have to keep out of the grave. Just curious.
You know how we did the golf foursome earlier today? And we just got a text from this guy. He needs to know, you know, all the details of when to show up, all that stuff with Zito. You said you'd get back to him on it.
Yeah. Before we get to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You with me, Junior?
Yeah.
We made mention of, you know, we were talking about, you know, what'd you do when you were a teenager and all this. And we brought up snipe hunting.
Yeah.
And Junior...
Well, we told him we'd like to take him snipe hunting one night.
Oh,
that sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
And Junior didn't know what a snipe hunt is. And as soon as we hit the off button on the microphone, he's waiting for us in the hallway.
Yeah.
I know what a snipe hunt is now. Would you like to tell everybody what a snipe hunt is? Because you found the history of it and everything.
Yeah, it's a practical joke.
Hmm? What kind of practical joke?
Well, I don't know what that means.
What do you mean, practical?
Well, you go on a hunt for a fictional creature.
Yeah.
It was dates back to the 1840s.
Happened to Stan in about 1981.
Mm-hmm. Well past the 1840s.
Now you're trying to make it happen to Junior in 2018.
Well, that's part of getting into manhood.
Yep.
You know, go
you
from
learn
a boy
stuff
to a man.
Like that.
I had just come down to Florida, and a couple of good old boys who liked it. They had their hunting dogs, pickup trucks, and we were.
It was old Red and old Rover.
Yep. Said me and my buddy Dave, who's the architect now, and he was born and raised in Florida. He said, that's right, you boys. We're going to have a lot of action here tonight. You got to be real quiet. We're going to go get you guys out there by the brook over there and going to do some snipe hunting. Oh, man. Snipe. Yes. Let's do it. Tonight. Oh, watch out. Because what we're going to do is me and Luther, we're going to go a little bit farther down the stream and we'll roust them up for you. And then they're going to come right down. Now you take these burlap sacks and when they come down the brook, you get them in that sack and bring them back and we'll pick you up. But get ready, because we're going to wrestle them up there, and they're going to come right down there. They're nesting right now. Once we rile them up, you're going to go and get them in that sack. They'll come right at you.
Were you ready?
Me and my buddy Dave. You ain't going to get it on the shore. You got to get right in that brook. So we're up to our just below our kneecaps, our shins, and we got burlap sacks. And we sit there, and they go nice and quiet, drive off. You can hear the dogs still barking in the back of the pickup truck, and they go away. And me and my buddy Dave are standing there in water up to our knees holding burlap sacks like at 11 o'clock at night going, what the is going on here? Are they going to roust these snipe? And a half hour had to go by, and we looked at each other. Oh, sons of bitches. And we had to walk all the way back. Get back to the campsite where they were.
But you did give it a half hour.
Did give it a half hour. And what's going on? What, are we supposed to wait any longer about this? Yeah, well, good old snipe hunting.
Poor Junior. Yeah. He never got to experience it now.
That's something you got to experience.
Apparently, snipes are real. If you see
okay,
that right
that's
there.
Good. There were none.
It's got nothing to do with snipe hunting.
There were none.
Whatever bird you got there has nothing to do with snipe hunting.
Let's get two different things. Let's get you updated. Now, me and my buddy weren't too happy about it, but they had themselves a whale of a time. Hey, boys! Welcome back!
Did you get me, snipe?
K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. Where do I want to go? Okay, well, just a couple of things on the board here. Fort Myers crash, Daniels Parkway and 6 Mile Cypress, right by the Whole Foods, the new Whole Foods, which isn't open yet. And Lehigh Acres hit and run, Gunnery Road North and 12th Street West. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Bernard Kalb in San Clemente, Bob Schieffer in Mitchell, South Dakota, Barry Serafin in Towson, Maryland, Terry Drinkwater in Rockville, Maryland, Jeff Williams in Ayrshire, Iowa, Jed Duval in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Richard Threlkeld in Prineville, Oregon, Bruce Dunning in Cat Lai, South Vietnam, and Bruce Hall in Miami.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, September 27th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. The Oakland A's and the Cleveland Indians played two games in 1973 using orange baseballs.
Yep. Can I tell you that a guy by the name of Charles O'Finley.
Mm-hmm. An innovator.
He, looking back, he was.
It was his idea, the owner of the Oakland A's. He was of the opinion that an orange baseball would be easier to see, but all the players absolutely hated it, so they scrapped it.
Yep. He had a lot of ideas, and he was cheap. That's why. Do you remember, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember, the Oakland A's of the 72-73 Vita Blue.
Catfish Hunter.
Yep.
Raleigh Fingers.
Yep. All of these, Sal Bando. Bert Campanaris. They were all big stars, and it was just prior to the time of free agency. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson was on the A's.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Finley was the innovator. He had them with the bright colored uniforms and the white shoes, and really was doing it. And then free agency started to come in, and the players started saying, well, guess what, Mr. Finley? Mm-hmm. You got to start paying us. And he didn't.
Wasn't part of his business plan.
Was not, and started selling off players. They went everywhere. And broke up probably one of the greatest teams that baseball had known.
World beaters.
Yep.
You know, as you look back over your life, you can probably point to a couple of times where you had a lucky break or an unlucky break.
Yep.
Hopefully you get more lucky than not. I'm going to tell you about someone I can't imagine how this man has coped with life.
What?
We all know the company Apple.
Yep.
I mentioned the name of Steve Jobs. Everybody knows who that is. Mm-hmm. Most people know who Steve Wozniak is.
Yeah, they were the two partners that founded Apple.
There were three partners that founded Apple. In addition to the Steves, there was a gent named Ronald Wayne.
Hey, Ron.
He was there at the beginning. And he had a 10% stake in Apple. Now, 10% of Apple today would be worth in excess of $100 billion today. However, 2 weeks after Apple was founded, it was not worth that much money. He decided he'd hit it big, cashed in his 10% stake in Apple 2 weeks after its founding for $800.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of this guy before.
There's a reason for that.
He gets $800, and how much would it be worth now?
In excess of $100 billion.
That's bad luck. That's dumb luck. And you can see him. Hey, we've established. We did it. We're business now. Okay, now that we've done all that, okay, I'll take my share and be done with it. Well, here's your $800.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Nobody knows Ronald Wayne.
Nope.
I know we probably read it when we were kids, but now they've done the movies, so pretty much everybody knows the Lord of the Rings now.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Lord of the Rings, it revolves around Sam and Frodo taking a walk.
Yeah, it does. Yes, yes, it does.
How long a walk did they take?
Just up the hill.
Just Sam and Frodo, they've worked this out.
Yeah.
Walk a total of 1,350 miles in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which would be the equivalent of walking from Austin, Texas to Los Angeles.
That's a hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of things happen.
Yep.
Three books worth. We all know that the Civil War, the war between the states.
Right, there was nothing civil about it.
Well, it wasn't a civil war because it was two states.
Yep, it was the war between the states.
Mm-hmm.
Southern states and northern states.
But meaning the South was its own country.
It was the Confederate States of America.
Yes.
They had their own president, their own Congress.
Now the northern aggressors...
What?
...prefer to think of it as a war between the states of the United States.
Yes.
No. It was a war between the United States
because
and the
Abraham
Confederate States.
Because Abraham Lincoln said, I don't care what you're doing, you're not leaving the Union.
But they did.
They did.
But we know that it was an awful war.
Horrible.
Bloody war. Terrible war. However, when people say it was a bloody war, it's true, it was, but it wasn't as bloody as one might think. Approximately 625,000 soldiers died in that war.
That's more than any other war we've ever been in.
Of that number, only about one-third died in actual battle. Two-thirds of all the soldiers died from disease. Malaria and measles spread like wildfire through their camps.
I believe that. Amputations that went awry.
Oh, disease. Yeah, that was the first thing they did. Should we take the bullet out? No, take the leg.
Yep. It's true.
You know, when we were in school, they taught us about the food pyramid and that you need a healthy breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Balanced diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was for dogs.
No, that's a brand, a balance. Well, dogs need it. I think any living creature needs
it. Wasn't it Calcan that talked about how important that was? Balanced diet means you feed them nothing but Calcan.
Yep. Meanwhile, Ed McMahon's drinking a beer and telling you to feed him Alpo.
Yep. Who to believe?
Yep.
Lorne Greene? Ed McMahon?
Oh, Lorne Greene was Alpo, too. He'd make it look so good you'd want to eat it.
And some people did.
Yeah.
Eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner is evidently not reality now. According to a new survey, three-quarters of Americans do not eat the traditional three meals a day anymore. They say that the average person now eats two meals and three snacks every day.
Mm. What's a snack? Is a snack maybe one of the fun size of Doritos?
There's nothing fun about it.
No, that's right. Or one, or a snack where the whole giant family size bag of Doritos is yours. What is it?
Different things to different people.
Yeah. Yeah, watch out. Halloween's just around the corner. Watch for the houses that give out the fun-size candy. As Annie just told you, there's nothing fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
You want the full bar.
The meal we're most likely to replace with snacking is lunch.
Sure, okay.
So what are we eating on those snack meals? Cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Crackers.
You betcha.
Fruit.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Chips.
Yeah.
And nuts.
Nuts are supposed to be good for you. Mm-hmm. Unless you got a peanut allergy. In that case, until you snap out of it.
Or until they come out with another study that says it's poison.
Yep.
But that usually takes a couple of years of you eating all the stuff they tell you is good for you until they decide it's not. Like, I got a story I'm not even doing today.
Yeah.
But, they've been pushing it for years. Oh, you should have a glass of wine a day. And I'm like, now that's a 40% increase in this type of cancer.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Wine will kill you.
Yeah. I just stopped paying attention.
Yeah.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, two golf partners in London beat insane odds on Tuesday when they both hit a hole-in-one on the same hole back-to-back.
Same round, same hole, back-to-back. One tees off, the next one, back-slapping him, happy hole-in-one, and then the next guy tees off and does the same thing.
Exactly.
Wow!
A man named Wayne Eagling hit his hole-in-one. Then his partner, Peter Orton, stepped up and did the same thing. The odds of that happening, 1 in 17 million.
Does it say how long of a hole or anything like that, or the course?
I'm sure that information is available, but no, I'm not going into it.
I want to know, what was it, a 150-yarder, a par 3, what was
it? You can look it up when you get home.
Okay, what the-
folks.
Thank you.
At this point, you're quite used to buying things from Amazon. Hopefully you access it from stanandhaney.com.
I hope so.
But there was a time, probably difficult to recall, you went to Amazon and entered your credit card for the first time.
Yeah.
And you might not know this, but you can find out what you bought that day.
I want to know. Tell me how to do it. I'm curious. I'll come back and report on it.
You just go to Amazon, go to your orders. Yeah. You'll see a drop-down box where you can choose to see your purchases from every year. Simply pick the earliest year available, and it will show you the very first thing you ever bought.
Now, help me with my memory. Now I sign on to Amazon. Wasn't there a time that you could buy from Amazon and didn't have to have an account? And would that still track what you bought?
I don't know.
I'll find out. I'll report back tomorrow.
Okay.
Find out when what I bought, if it's not embarrassing.
Well, if it would make you feel better, Stan, you can come here tomorrow and tell us about it.
Yeah.
Or if you're uncomfortable with that, we'll send someone to your home.
Okay. Or maybe have a closed session.
All right. A group of teenagers broke into a marijuana dispensary in Colorado Springs yesterday around 1 a.m. How did they do this?
How?
I don't know that anybody came up with a plan or anything, because what they did is they drove a stolen van through the front door.
Yeah.
Grabbed a bunch of weed out of the display case and ran off. But there's something they didn't realize.
What's that?
The weed store doesn't put real stuff in the display cases, and what they stole was a bunch of carefully arranged oregano.
Yeah, one Dave the Waterman said, "Hey, dude, I thought for sure that's where they have the good stuff."
He meant well. The police did not catch them. They're looking for them.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, a woman named Melissa Ezel recently stopped in at a convenience store in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, and it appeared she may have been drinking. So someone else who was there tried to stop her from driving home drunk.
Okay.
Melissa was not interested in this person's opinion because, in her opinion, she was fine to drive.
Yeah.
They still wouldn't let her leave, though. What's a gal to do?
That's one of the toughest things, by the way. If you know a woman who likes to imbibe.
Oh, jeez.
And you try to tell them that they've had a little too much.
Well, you're mansplaining now.
Yeah. It can turn so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of like, you know, Stan, thank you for seeing that.
Anytime a woman is intoxicated, it's dicey to explain to them they're wrong about anything.
Yep. Yep. I really don't think you should have any more, and we should get you home. I'll drive. Watch out.
Yeah. You've done it now. So, what is she to do? Did the only thing she could do.
What's that?
She flagged down a police officer to help her out so that she could successfully drive home drunk.
Oh, my God.
The officer gave her a breathalyzer test, which, of course, she failed. And since she'd obviously just driven to the store, congratulations. She got a DUI.
You're darn right.
She's also facing child endangerment charges because she had her kids in the car with her.
Unbelievable!
Officer! Get your ass over here! Tell this son of a bitch to get out of my way. I gotta take my kids home.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, September 27th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District. Bringing us news. Through the news, I'm glancing up at the Kavanaugh stuff and these Democrats. Let's get back to your beer drinking, Judge. They want to know blackouts, waking up where you didn't belong.
I can't believe it's being allowed.
Judge, one of the women senators, my father had a drinking problem.
Oh, geez.
He's sober now at 90. Can you recognize that you may have had a drinking? This is what it's going to. This is what it's about. A 17-year-old down in a few cold ones.
Let me tell you something. At 17, nobody's qualified to do anything. And if they are, meaning they've done nothing, they're not really living life. They're damaged people.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
Yeah. I'll tell you very quickly, and I've told this story before. I've told all the stories before. We've been doing this a while. High school, prom. There was an incident at the prom. There
always is.
I wasn't involved in the incident, but there was an incident that...
But you admit you were there.
Yep. That jeopardized... this person graduating. In other words, the prom was, but the ceremony for the graduation was the following weekend.
And I'll never forget it. You want to talk about if you're not around having a bit, well, where were you? What were you doing? It was so sad because they called an assembly of seniors into the high school gym. And assistant principal Schwartzbach got to the microphone. And he said, this only applies to people that went to the prom. If you didn't go to the prom, you can leave and attend your class. And you'd see some of the, you know, the nerds and the dorks and all that. Girls and boys having to grab their books and so embarrassed and walk out. Those are the ones that didn't have a beer in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else did.
And that principal should be fired and rot in hell.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida's airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. He is going to have the 6 o'clock safe word for you. You follow his instructions, you could be our next multi-market winner of $1,000. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just a few things on the board. They're still working. Hopefully these are in the clearing stages. Hit and run in Lehigh Acres, Gunnery Road North, and 12th Street West. And the other one that they better be clearing up and in the clearing stages, Daniels Parkway and 6 Mile Cypress in Fort Myers. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Big things happening right now. Like, the environment is in terrible shape. And most people pretend that they care about it. I don't believe anyone actually does. If anyone actually cared about the environment, there's no way fountains would still exist. Fountains are a real big f*** you to thirsty people. Imagine bringing a little kid from a third world country to see a fountain. He'd be like, look at all the water. Can I have a sip? And you'd have to be like, oh, no, that's for decoration. Well, can I at least grab the money out of it? No, those are wishes that were thrown there by people that can afford to throw money. And you know what they didn't wish for? Water. Now, come on, I'm going to show you a water park. That's where the water's for peeing in.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. What? Oh, geez. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this. Our question of the week. Well, Kavanaugh's being grilled about it. Where were you when you were 17?
Defend yourself.
Yeah. Our question of the week. Y'all, everybody had them. Where was your high school hangout? You had the favorite spot to go, whether it was on the weekend or after school. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Yeah, we used to hang out at a local dive bowling alley, and it was back in the mid-90s when you were still allowed to smoke inside. And
were bowlers.
Yeah, the whole place was covered in a haze, and you spent the whole time trying to sneak into the back room to play pool where it was 21 and older.
Yeah, I can completely identify.
Were you successful?
Never.
Did you ever have a fake ID?
I did. I took my older sister's, and I actually got caught because somebody that was working went to school with her.
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Bye, man. 277-9600. Yeah, there'd be certain nights where we had the gals and we'd go bowling. That's where I told you about my buddy Paul, the fat one. He drove us. He had a big, big, giant tuna boat of a car. And we were all, you know, some schnapps there and, you know, a little vodka. And we get to the bowling alley. Well, we were, you could fit eight people in his car. And he drove because he didn't have a date. And we get to the bowling alley. And we're all going, all right, let's go in and bowl a few strings. And he sat in the car because he was depressed. And he said, no, I'm not going into the bowling alley. And he held up a bottle of vodka and he said, this is my only girlfriend. Oh, and he chugged it and he passed out in his car in the parking lot.
And he's your driver.
Yeah, well, somebody else drove because when we were all done at about, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, we go out to, he might have had a Bonneville.
Nice car.
Yeah, and he was in the back seat, out like a light. We made sure he got home. Yeah.
Ooh, Lindsey Graham is going to town.
You're darn right. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tori, how are you?
Good, buddy. Where was your high school hangout back in the day?
Well, as a fellow graduate of Mariner High School in Cape Coral, our favorite hangout was the Yucatan.
Now,
tell us about
yeah,
that.
What is that?
Well, I'll tell you as much as I can. It yes. was, you know, just I wasn't really into country music, but it was seemed to be where they all congregated, and we'd go out there on the weekends. And back then, it was Zima. Zima was all the rage.
Sure.
You didn't go as far as Zima Gold, did you?
I stopped at Zima Gold, but I did graduate to Gold Slugger.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Good deal. Good. Zima. Yeah. All right. Now, Haney knows this, too. Zima, that was what, 80s, 90s?
That was the 90s, yeah.
When I was in high school, the alternative to beer was Champale.
Oh, yeah. I purchased Champale for
a
young lady.
It was a malt beverage.
Malt liquor.
But it was like a little mini bottle of champagne, and it had the hint of a champagne taste.
I remember being with a really stupid girl, and she said, oh, I can't drink beer like you guys. Is there anything else? And I said, yeah, I'll take care of it. So I get her like a couple of bottles of Champale,
mm-hmm.
and... I
opened it had the foil wrap on it,
yeah.
too.
I opened it and handed it to her, and it was at that point I knew I didn't want to see her again, because you know what she said when I handed her the champagne?
What?
Ooh, classy.
Ahoy, who's this?
Mike, okay, cool.
What's your first name?
Mike.
Mike, where was your high school hangout back in the day?
I grew up out west, out in California, and we used to hang out at an old broken-down oil field with an oil pump on the end. And we'd go swimming out there, jumping off the oil rig. And like you said, we used to drink Mickey's Big Mouth. And for the riddles on the bottom of the cap,
yep.
It was great, man.
That sounds like great memories. That must have been great. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dick.
Dick?
Yes.
Hey, Dick. Where was your high school hangout?
Well, the first place was an establishment called No Place. So you could tell your parents when they ask you where you're going, I'm going No Place.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was a state park, which you could get in the back way and avoid everything and go up and watch submarine races, but there were no submarines.
Yeah.
277.
Good place to go snipe hunting.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You haven't grown up to be a man until you've gone snipe hunting. Junior doesn't know what snipe hunting is. No. Nope.
You never been on a snipe hunt?
What?
What is that?
Okay, never mind. One day, Haney and I'll take you snipe hunting.
I don't know if he's up to it.
No, I don't think so.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.